The scripture reading this morning will be John 16, 19 through 24. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Is this what you are asking yourselves? What I meant by saying, a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also, you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full."
Certainly on the holiday weekend, our numbers are a little lower, but I keep reminding of myself of the times in Virginia where if we had 20, we had a big crowd in some of the places that I was at. And I've always said I'm just thankful if I could be with one person across the kitchen table with the Bible open. I'm thankful for that occasion and certainly thankful to be with you this morning. I just finished a wonderful meeting in Moody, Alabama, which is just outside of the Birmingham area, and very encouraged by that. But got home just in time to finish a moving process. And so if you see me grimace a little bit when I move, I'm finding out I'm not as young as I used to be, and I'm reminded of that in so many ways every day. This morning I want to talk about one of the fruit of the Spirit, one of the elements of the fruit of the Spirit, and that is joy. I've titled the lesson, "The Test of Joy." I also think as I get older of ways my body could fail. I hear every day, a friend of mine just last week had a heart attack, close friend. Not unusual to hear somebody find out they have cancer. And it's quite interesting as we begin to see the body fail, sometimes there's warning signs. Natural functions are no longer working. Somebody loses their appetite. You know, you need to be worried about that. And so there's cause for concern for the body when those things happen, but in the spiritual realm also there are warnings. I said, really this summer, I really want to focus on our core group. I really want to focus upon those that are here, that live here, those that are Christians. I want to bring lessons for us. And this is a lesson for us this morning. This is foundational, but it is essential. Do you have the fruit of the Spirit in your life? I want you to notice when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, we're not talking about the fruits of the Spirit. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. It's very similar to the Beatitudes in Matthew 5. You find that all of these should be part of you. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. I want to focus this morning on joy. Are you a faithful Christian? Let's take a little test. Go to the spiritual doctor, Jesus Christ, and His Word. Let's give you a test, run a lab test. What's your joy like? Let's go through some verses and let's take these tests together. As we begin to understand the power of God's grace and God's Spirit as revealed through His will, we begin to understand that the fruit of the Spirit, as well as the works of the flesh, are things that we're to look at. There's things we're to avoid. There are things that have got to be a part of our life if we have spiritual life. Notice how much Jesus talked about joy. And in a moment, we're going to define it. John 15 and verse 9, "As the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." We begin to see the introduction of joy. Notice, it's always in the context of commitment, sacrifice, challenge. But when you read about the joy, it's full in that context. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I have commanded you." Joyful. What if people who know you, am I joyful? Is that characteristic of my life? You know, joy is a natural byproduct of God's love. Do you know what God's love is? We didn't start with the first fruit of the Spirit, love. Agape love. What is love? It's commitment. It's an unwavering commitment and desire to give those what they need, not what they deserve. Commitment led Jesus to die on the cross. When I love, I commit. And it's grateful. It gives me purpose. It's how to live. There's no life without that. Joyful people are obedient people. You know, one of the problems I think sometimes, we don't know how to deal with the root causes in order to get the fruit that we want to see. Let's suppose you want to get rid of dandelions. How do you get rid of dandelions? What my old solution was, as a kid, you kick them. I'd like to watch them fly anyway. Does that get rid of dandelions? No, it spreads them. You got to get to the root. There's a different approach. When it comes to being obedient, you know what some people say? Let's make them be obedient. Let's have these outward rules and let's have a checklist. And buddy, let's beat on your head if you're not obedient. Now, there's a place for discipline. But honestly, if you want to develop obedient people, you look to the heart. And we need to be joyful people. One writer says, man cannot find true essential joy anywhere but in his relationship to God. Listen to the passage that was just read in our hearing. Do you want joy? I want to tell you, joy is fulfillment, is purpose. But